Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
As we mentioned earlier this morning, we have the tremendous chus to have Rabbi Milstein in yeshiva, who is a Talmud of one of the great gedolim of our time, Shmuel Berenbaum, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. We have an additional tremendous chus that we have their yeshiva son, Rabbi Yisrael, come to yeshiva as well, to speak to us, to be able to give us an impression for many of us who did not have a relationship, certainly not a close relationship. Many of us never saw him. Many of us never really got to experience the very idea of who the Gadol B'Yisrael, Rav Shmuel Berenbaum, was. I only was zeicha to encounter him very few times. My brother was very, very close with him. And my father had a relationship with him as well. And I just want to share three quick thoughts before introducing Rabbi Milstein to speak just for a few moments, and then Rabbi Berenbaum. My brother and I, we would learn together as chavrusas. I was never able to really get my brother to change his opinion on anything, because whatever Rosh Hashiva said is what went. So if I would try to argue, Rosh Hashiva the Welt, the Rosh Hashiva the world, he says differently. And then I had to be maskim. And I was certainly foolish to ever think differently. And my brother once told me a Dvar Torah that really explained something great of his impression of Rav Shmuel. He said that there's a Gemara. The Gemara says that Abaye and Rava were descendants of Bnei Eli. Abaye and Rava, as Bnei Eli, they were not zeicha to have a long life. The family was cursed to die young. And yet, one lived to the age of 40, and the other lived to the age of 60. I think it was Rava lived to the age of 40. Why did he live to the age of 40? Because he devoted his life to Torah. Abaye lived to the age of 60. If I remember correctly, I might be switching the two. He lived to the age of 60. Why? Because he devoted his life to Torah and Chesed. Chesed ve'emes. He devoted his life to both. And therefore, he got to live longer. Rav Shmuel asked, Rava Veisnish, does a Rava didn't know that if he would only devote his life to Chesed also, he would have been zeichat an additional 20 years of life? I mean, think about it. You know the secret recipe for a long life. I could learn Torah and do Chesed, and I'll get an additional 20 years. Or I can learn Torah and only live till 40. Add to the recipe. So my brother told me that Rav Shmuel said, and it was in large group of people, Rav Shmuel said, Avada Rava Veistaze. Of course Rava knew that. Aber es geven nish kedai. It wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it to sacrifice a second of learning. Obviously, there are certain obligations that a person has to take care of. But a life dedicated to Torah, it wasn't worth it to give up a second of learning Torah for anything else. Even if it meant losing out on something else. Torah is it. Avada Rav Veistaze. Aber es geven nish kedai. It wasn't worth it to give up a life dedicated to Torah. My Rabbi, Rabbi Shurkin Shlita, when he came to America, he said the place where he always liked to go to America was to Mir Yeshiva. Why do you like to go to the Mir Yeshiva? Because when he came to Mir Yeshiva, you always had to face the Rashi Reb Shmuel. When he faced the Rashi Reb Shmuel, he didn't come to you and say, wow, such a chashuv tzaddik. Maybe you can give a Musa Shmuz. Maybe you can give me some. Maybe I could just spend time together. No, no. He would go up to Reb Shmuel, and Reb Shmuel's first thing was, oh, he actually would start. Rav Shurkin. Wow, Rav Shurkin. What Masechta are you learning now? So my Rebbe would say, what Masechta is learning? Oh, and he would open up the Gemara, and he'd point at Taisvis, and he'd say, what's Pshat in Taisvis? And my Rebbe knew he was under the gun, right the first second. That was the reason he came. He came to Mir Yeshiva because somebody he's afraid of. He's afraid of Reb Shmuel, because Reb Shmuel is Taira. We can't imagine that. I'm trying to express the impression of a person who is not part of the Mir Yeshiva. I did not learn in Mir Yeshiva. I was not zeichet to have a relationship with him. But the impression of Klal Yisrael was that you're dealing with Shmuel Berenbaum. It's a living Torah in front of you. There's a story that we share in our family, And I'll just finish with this. My father, Zochen Livracha, was Zeicha in the very last few years to help take care of Reb Shmuel medically. In fact, Reb Shmuel Berman decided that he wanted to go to Israel for Sukkos at a very, very late point. And he called up my father and he told my father, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So my father said, there's no flights anymore. That's it. I think it was like Rebbe from Yom Kippur. There's no flights to go to Eretz Yisrael. Shmuel said, check. My father knew that to bring Shmuel on a plane, you needed a large amount of the plane. And they're certainly not going to get any seats. Certainly not going to get the seats that he needs. He said, okay, Shmuel told him to call up. He called up. He called El Al. And they said, you wouldn't believe it. Literally, we just got a cancellation. Not just one cancellation, we got five. And immediately my father changed his own flight, going to Eretz Yisrael. Also, he changed his flight to be able to be on that plane. My nephews were on the plane with Reb Shmuel. They all flew with him. And throughout the flight, they all came over to Reb Shmuel. Reb Shmuel gave his classic bracha. Instead of giving you a bracha, you know, if you shteig, you'll become a Talmud Chacham. They went to Eretz Yisrael, and Reb Shmuel, in the last year of his life, was incredibly, incredibly sick. And yet, even in his sick state, I remember Reb Shmuel went to an event, but he was afraid to go. Not afraid to go. It was a concern about him going. The people who were taking care of Reb Shmuel were concerned about him going to this event because he was so sick. So he said, "Shteit in Gemara." The Gemara says that if a person is sick, so he said that you should go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Go to Reb Chaim, and that's what you're supposed to do. I think, if I remember correctly, Reb Chaim refused to allow him to come because of Shmuel, Shekomer Reb Chaim. I think he called him up. And I know somebody who was there at the time. Shmuel spoke to Reb Chaim. He said to Reb Chaim that they want me to go to this certain fundraiser to support Bnei Torah in learning, but doctors are telling me I can't go. So Reb Chaim said to him, you're going to go and you're not going to be affected by it at all medically. In a second, Reb Shmuel stood up, he went to the door, and he went. I was there, not by that part, but I was there when he spoke. And in his incredibly sick state, he spoke and spoke, and they wanted him to speak only for a few minutes because of his condition. Oh, he kept going and going. I remember somebody behind him trying to tap him on the shoulder. No, no, no! It continued to go. But the story we say in our family is that when Reb Shmuel was at home, and I'm sure others know this story much better than I, but my father was there, and Reb Shmuel was at home. Reb Shmuel was lying in bed in the last moments of his life. And Reb Shmuel said to my father, you know, hey, Mer'uf, pick me up, because he wanted to be propped up. Okay? And then a few minutes later, Reb Shmuel says to my father again, hey, Mer'uf, pick me up. My father was very confused. He had already picked him up. And then it was a short while after that, Reb Shmuel was nifter. My father said that he felt that Reb Shmuel probably wasn't talking to him. When Reb Shmuel said, hey, Mer'uf, pick me up, he was ready to go up. We're talking about a person, who's full of life and vibrant and full of simcha and joy, and Torah was his essence. At the very last moment, it was just, hey, Mer'uf, pick me up. It's my schus to ask Rabbi Milstein to say a number of words. I wish it would be many, many more. But Be'ezer Hashem, let's hear from Rabbi Milstein.